You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman in a strangely warm day in New York City. What is going on, King?
Getting you ready for week 12 here on RotoExperts.com. My in-season ranks are updated, include schedule analysis, injuries, playing time roles, etc. And Jake Seely has his week 12 sleepers.
There you go. Matt Modica, so how are you?
I'm doing well. We are just hours away from kicking off the holiday season, my second holiday of the year. Thanksgiving, football, turkey, and all that good stuff.
There you go. Everything coming your way on Thursday with Thanksgiving. Three football games, which should be fun. Week 12 begins, and like I said yesterday, I don't think you win. You don't win and you lose on Thursday, but, you know, with three games on the docket, certainly could be in for a nice start. Corey, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Sussman? How's everything?
Good.
You're right. You don't win or lose on Thursday, but you do want to, you know, you don't want to feel... Because if you, like, see on a regular Thursday, you fall out to a bad start, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, it's one game, you know, and then you go about your business. You get ready for Sunday. It's three games, and you got to wait, like, till 2-3 days later for more fantasy points. It can be very trying, but hopefully we have the right mixture of players where you don't get, you don't fall behind, like, 82 to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah, yeah, it's very scary.
You ever been in that position, Scott?
Sucks.
I was ahead of you, Scott.
Don't recall that.
Very fally today, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
He looks like a Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, he looks like a professor.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yes, I can sit in the teacher's lounge, which Mr. Sussman.
He wanted to use that one.
Yeah.
Still, though, you know, the point about Thursday is, though, as Keenan Allen owners can attest, you know, it's still three games. And there are 13 more to go, so you can't get too up or too down either way. You feel like with three games, the anxiety is even more a little bit pronounced, but you just have to keep level-headed. You see all kinds of things can happen on a Sunday. You're just playing at a different time.
Yeah, but I got like four guys going tomorrow in like my biggest league.
Oh, that's good.
And if it don't turn out right, I'm going to be pretty depressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want you to be depressed.
I don't want you to be depressed either.
I'll be sulking over my turkey.
Yeah, but at least we'll be eating turkey, which is like, as
possible. I will be eating turkey.
So on the show tonight, we got a bunch of headlines to get to. No real waiver wires to talk about, because, like, you know, everyone's out there. He's out there.
I'm not doing too much waiver wiring, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
there's not much to do. Like, on my waiver wire last night, but a couple of quarterbacks went just for fun. And then you had, like, Byron Marshall get picked up. So
Yeah, there's a lot of defenses still.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because, you know, you want to get... Pittsburgh or Cincinnati this week, if you can.
I got Cincinnati in one of my bigger leagues this week. I'm happy about that.
So, I don't know, man. Deshaun Kizer, you know.
Just frightens me.
But hey, we got some philosophy stuff to get to also, which I'm really excited for. But when we come back, a bunch of headlines from yesterday. Stick around. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back with you here on the Roto Experts. Man, this is tough. It's tough decisions coming. And, you know, my defense who I've had purposely has been the Detroit Lions. I like the Detroit Lions schedule for the rest of the way, defense wise.
Right.
And this was like the one, I think, tough week that like stood out, because you face Minnesota, they obviously have a bunch of offensive weapons, but then you have Baltimore, you have Tampa, you have Chicago. You know, I'm like,
Baltimore's like a must start.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm kind of like just pushing through against Minnesota and just hoping. It's kind of my philosophy. But the problem is, Scott, they play tomorrow on Thursday, and I don't like that. I want it. I want them in the hole. I want them for Sunday. I don't want to mess with anything tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think the hole for Thursday matters if you have the other team in the hole. Yet it's three games. You know, I believe you have another 13 to go. So you want to start your best unit. It's, you know, putting another team in the hole. That hole could disappear in a matter of a half hour to an hour on Sunday.
But it could. But I don't want to be in it.
I hate playing guys on Thursday.
I don't think it matters. Matt's situation is one thing where he talks about, I got four guys in my starting lineup going on Thursday. That's different. I don't think you should base the lineup decision on whether a defense starts on Thursday or Sunday. You just pick the better unit.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree, but I hate having players on Thursday. It's a short week. It's certainly when they're an away team. There's travel involved.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the defense, though. Skill position players, maybe a different conversation, as Matt has often pointed to, you know, playing on a short week, et cetera. You know, we've seen injuries. We've seen down performances. But for a defense, you know, an 11-man unit, I probably wouldn't do that. I just want what's the better unit with the better matchup.
Yeah, but I do think the unit is, once again, it's a short week. I don't know. Last week it worked out great. I had Ben and AB in the league and it was 82 points. But there's been a lot of other weeks where I've made wrong decisions, not wanting to play guys.
Totally.
And it's cost me. It's something I'd rather avoid, but sometimes you can't.
That's yes, of course.
This week you cannot.
Like, for instance, tomorrow night I have Kirk Cousins as my quarterback. Like, there's nothing I can do. I am pumped. I'm sorry, Corey. There's
nothing you can do about that.
No, it's not. But I'm pumped. I am pumped to have Kirk Cousins as my quarterback for tomorrow night. Right? Like, it's going to be awesome. He's facing the Giants. He's at home. Like, he's probably going to put up 75 points. It's going to be sick. But when I come, I don't want too much going on Thursday night. I don't.
I wish him the best because I got Josh Doctson and Vernon Davis rolling tomorrow night.
Exactly.
I never thought week 12 in this really important league to me that I'd be relying on Josh Doctson and Corey Davis this week.
I feel like you. I don't want to say you never thought that.
Well, yeah, maybe
we talked about that for like 8 weeks.
We wanted to throw Corey Davis out there week one if he wasn't hurt.
I do have Stephon Diggs sandwiched in the middle there, so hopefully.
The Diggs sandwich.
Yeah, so I don't want to say you never imagined.
Maybe I was being a little facetious.
Maybe so. But ultimately, Corey, does it bother you to have guys on Thursday night?
It's nothing you can really do about it. It is what it is. But mentally, you don't want, like, it's almost like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, the points are going to start tabulating now. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that kind of anxiety can get to you. But, you know, when you sit back and compose yourself, there's really nothing you can do about it but roll your guys out there and hope for the best. Yesterday, I was talking about some of my favorite moments on Thanksgiving football, and obviously Randy Moss, and then Lawrence Taylor in Detroit. When I forgot, right quick, if you don't mind me, I thought about this yesterday, and it bothered me that I didn't mention this. When Mike Tomlin stepped on the field and tripped up Jacoby Brissett, Jacoby Jones, and he's like gotten Jacoby Jones way, that was like the evilness of the criminal that Mike Tomlin is on full display right there.
That was
wow.
Wild.
That was wild, yo. What is Mike Tomlin?
Criminal?
Well, not criminal. But
yeah.
Mike Tomlin is a dirty head coach. He is. It's the truth.
Well, see, the thing about this week, of all Thursdays, is come when it's time to eat the turkey, I want to be in a good mood.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I'm going to be at my mom's friend's place with, like, 16 other people at the table. I don't want to be sour.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, for you, you got that.
Wow, it's going to be that many people?
Yeah, I don't know how I got roped into this thing.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of
people. I almost
people.
Had to go all to Staten Island last night because of a loose HDMI cable.
Oh, that would have been brutal.
I would have lost.
You know what's crazy is that, Matt, for you, for a lot of us, that 12:30 game with Detroit and Minnesota, like, that is a big-time fantasy game. That is not a nothing game.
No, you got Golden Tate in that game. You got the situation with the Minnesota Vikings running backs. You got Case Keenum, who people are going to be starting this week. Obviously, Matt Stafford going up against that top defense, even though he gets them at home. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. You know, it's a lot of implications in that situation right there. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. So
even
yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, who's had a nice floor lately for tight end.
Has he been doing anything, Rudolph?
He's been consistently like 8 to 10 points a game every week.
Oh, okay. I don't own him nowhere. I don't seem to ever play against him either.
There's no upside there, really, but there's something of a floor when you look at the tight end position.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what is that? At least 5 catches in like 10,000 straight games, something like that?
Yeah.
Pretty great. It's pretty wild. How consistent he's been. Like, we own him GSD, which obviously hasn't gone great. But listen, yikes. He's been very solid, very very solid.
Yeah, he's got 6 straight weeks of at least 5 receptions. Yeah. And you know, if you get double digits from your tight end, there's not really more you can ask.
Yeah, and even you know, let's not forget, you know, you got Matt Prater going tomorrow. You know, that could be a dozen to 15 points for you right there.
And Kai Forbath tomorrow, too.
Yes, 2 of the best kickers.
Yeah, Kai Forbath, he missed 2 last week.
Cost me a win.
I think I'll bounce
back. He makes one of those, I win. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Matt Prater's been like money from beyond 50.
But he has always been money beyond 50 his entire career. And it's just been a complete money year for Matt Prater all year long.
I do think tomorrow's early games are going to be... I have a feeling it's low scoring. I hope it's not low scoring.
Do we know how to watch that game if you happen to be on a train by any chance?
I think if you go to, like, if it's on Fox.
It's on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh. It depends on who your provider is. Like, I have DirecTV, so I can go to, like, the DirecTV app and, right. like, watch live TV. I don't know who your provider is.
Yeah.
But what you would have to do is you'd probably even have to look at the channel, like, the website of the channel that, you know, that's showing, which is probably Fox.
Or
go to your cable provider's page, and you can find a way to do that.
If you have Fios, to have an app.
Yeah.
You can watch it live.
I don't know that RCN has these things, unfortunately.
I don't know anything about RCN, except they have FNTSY.
They do.
But
Channel 583.
I'm sure RCN probably has a way of doing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't guarantee
you'd,
that.
You'd probably go through Fox, right? Like the page or something like that.
No, I understand the steps that you're talking about. I got it.
You sound like you've never done it before.
So
I'm just trying to be helpful.
The king's explaining the internet to you.
Al Gore once created this.
The superhighway.
if you are a Demaryius Thomas owner, how do you feel about the changing quarterbacks from Brock Osweiler to Paxton Lynch?
You have to feel terrible. You know what I'm saying? You have to deal with what's son name? The first dude, Trevor Siemian. You know what I'm saying? You have to deal with him. You have to deal with DT. You know what I'm saying? And his lack of getting in the end zone. Then you got to fool with the Brockett ship. So you know how that goes. But with Brock, you was like, well, at least he's getting a little bit more action. And now you're bringing in Paxton Lynch, who is a zero as far as NFL quarterback goes. That's, man, you wish Demaryius Thomas was a running back now.
Here's the thing. The first reaction is you're going to the backup quarterback. Yes, it's terrible. But if Paxton Lynch is a zero, Brock Osweiler is a minus 10. It's like, we don't know that Paxton Lynch can be any worse than any of these two guys, so it's kind of a wait and see thing. And no matter who the quarterback is, I think they know who to get the ball to. These guys are still going to get the ball. I don't know if I'm going to overreact to this. I'm not going to say it's not a concern, but I don't feel like you won't be able to start these guys either.
You know, I think this is a major concern. I mean, Thomas went like a calendar year, without having any touchdown receptions. He's coming off 3 straight games with a touchdown.
Yep.
I know Mike Florio's got to be upset because he was... he's been promoting this Brock Osweiler to...
he's right. He was right about it.
Yeah, no, look, I have Emmanuel Sanders. And honestly, I want Brock Osweiler to be the quarterback.
Well, I don't know.
I think you know, you guys all have that stance. And, you know, I think it's more to me, it's an unknown. I'm not going to assume it's going to be a terrible situation.
He's a terrible quarterback.
He was when he saw him last year.
Listen, I don't...
What makes you think he's better?
Was Jared Goff
people
terrible?
People get better.
Too?
People get better.
Yeah, but Sean McVay. Sean McVay didn't magically show up in Denver. They got the same stuff in
You're
Denver.
Talking about one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in Brock Osweiler. So I can't... I'm not saying you're wrong necessarily. What I'm saying is I think it's unknown. I can't assume it's going to be terrible.
I don't know. They got a new offensive coordinator. I mean, Trevor Siemian consistently beat this guy every day in practice in the preseason.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
like,
what's the bar?
It's not like Joe Montana was in front of him. Like, it was Brock Osweiler.
Right, so why are they sticking him in the lineup if they feel
because
he's not ready?
Because they drafted him hard.
They want to see what they have in Paxton Lynch, essentially. Yeah. They want to see if they need a new quarterback after this year or Paxton Lynch's chance to be the
guy.
They do? Probably so. But I understand giving Paxton Lynch a shot. I mean, he barely got a shot last year, but two games. So I don't want to think – I don't want to close the career of Paxton Lynch off those two games. Like, I can get better. But from a fantasy perspective – you can say what you want, Scotty, about Brock Osweiler being a minus 10 and being how horrific. But for Demaryius Thomas, Brock Osweiler was like a godsend. Three touchdowns in three straight games. Demaryius Thomas owners have to be really, really upset with the quarterback change. We'll continue the conversation when we return. More on the Broncos next on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
This Thanksgiving Eve, this song right here.
This is
oh my goodness, the years that I had to listen to this on Thanksgiving Eve.
This is Scott Trump.
Yeah.
Said the guy who's called the Godfather.
I saw that.
All right. So we're back with you here now. We were talking before the break how I think, listen, Brock Osweiler might be a minus 10 in your eyes, Scotty, but for Demaryius Thomas, he was much, much better than Paxton Lynch.
Look, it's kind of like about from Stanton to Gabbert last week. We all get default worried when they go to the next level of quarterback. Look, Paxton Lynch, maybe he's not going to win ball games, might throw interceptions, but he's going to know who to get the ball to, and I don't think it's that difficult for him to figure out.
Well, you say that, but listen, Trevor Siemian could not get the ball to Demaryius Thomas, specifically in the red zone, right? Like, it couldn't happen. And we said what we liked a lot about Denver was how predictable it was, right? Like, all right, Emmanuel Sanders on one side, Demaryius Thomas on the other. We know from a fantasy perspective, this is awesome. And yet, Demaryius Thomas, for a year, did not score a touchdown. Brock Osweiler starts, he scores three touchdowns in three games.
For all we know, Paxton Lynch could have been practicing with, like, a Benny Fowler type. And that look, it's still going to be Demaryius Thomas, Manny Sanders that are going to get the looks. And look, Denver has to do this. It's what seemed like a promising season early on has totally cratered, excuse me. So,
he's hungry.
I mean, I understand what they're doing here.
Yeah.
But if I own Demaryius Thomas, I'm heartbroken right now.
Now, here's the thing. You have Thomas, you have Sanders. Two of the last three games, you've got nothing from Sanders. And he had one big game. I think it's going to come down to who does he prefer between Thomas and Sanders, and I don't think anybody knows that.
No, they don't, and I totally agree with that fact. What I did know is that Brock Osweiler chose Demaryius.
Right.
Right? And I knew that he looked at him in the red zone, right? So now that it's a question of which one he's going to choose as a Demaryius Thomas owner, I'm frustrated.
We go from certainty to uncertainty.
Yes.
We don't go necessarily from very good to awful.
Yeah, but we're going from the certainty we're going from, as we mentioned, a touchdown in three straight games.
Right.
29 targets over those three games.
Yeah, for all we know, Paxton Lynch will come in there and throw a touchdown to him immediately this week. I'm saying we're going from certainty to uncertainty. I agree on that. But as far as Demaryius Thomas disappearing off the face of the earth now, I don't think we can assume that either.
Well, I don't think you're assuming that, but I think it's on the table. You know, I think it's possible.
It's more likely to happen than not happen.
And if it does, you know what? Osweiler might find himself right back in there.
Here's the one positive I'll throw out there. It is versus the Oakland secondary. So we got to look for sure.
Are they at home? Start Benny Fowler.
It's at Oakland.
See, at Oakland makes it still, I don't know.
That secondary's bad no matter where it is.
You're just hoping for a non-Nate Peterman start. Well, I mean, maybe that's the good game script you want.
This is the crazy thing. We'll go back to Nate Peterman.
Oakland defense going to play better this week. They just fired the D.C.
Yeah, Ken Norton.
How could they play any worse?
Because so the players are going to take personal responsibility here.
It's not that good of a defense regardless. They got one player there.
Scott, just listen to what I'm telling you, okay? I'm just listening to what I'm telling you, Scott.
It's a bad defense.
You don't need to say
they just hired the coordinator.
They just fired the coordinator.
I will say what I want. It's a bad defense.
This is why you begin to
throw
trouble.
It out there. You're going to be throwing it
yeah,
out
I'm throwing
there.
It out
in
there.
Trouble with who?
I'm
you?
Throwing it out there.
Who are you?
You're damn right I'm throwing it out there.
Who are you?
Listen to what I say.
No, I don't have to listen to what you say.
Because if DC just got fired, they're going to take some kind of personal accountability. Let's move on.
Oh, they're going to play different. They're going to give up 20 instead of 30.
Scotty, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When we have offensive coordinators get fired, right? Like, when the dude in Cincinnati got fired, we were all just like, wow, A.J. Green's going to have this monster blow-up game all over now because they fired Ken Zampezi and they promoted Bill Lazor. Like, there's going to be a change. When it comes to Oakland, for instance, they made a change of the coordinator. Something's going to happen. Like, there's going to be a change in this defense. The same way in Denver, they fired their offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy. Bill Musgrave's there. Like, maybe all of a sudden Devontae Booker is going to get 20 carries in this game, right? Something's going to change about the Denver offense, about the Oakland defense. I don't want to just say, they suck. Now they're going to give up 20 rather than 30. Something's going to change here.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, even if they come to play, there's not a lot of talent on that defense. Now, look, they're still going against Paxton Lynch. But what I'm saying is, I don't think I can assume that either Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders has a bad game based on the Oakland defense. Because if they're going to revamp things, it's not going to happen overnight. This team, you know, it's not just based on the coordinator. This defense is like a one-player defense. They don't have a single interception all year long. So I'm not worried about that defense.
Yeah, I'll agree with Scott on the defense is horrific. But I'll also agree with Corey that these guys are going to try and rise up. But this is the same defense that gave up 300 yards plus and 3 touchdowns to Jay Cutler, who hadn't thrown for over like 230 yards in almost 16 games. So, I mean, it's not, like I said, if Paxton Lynch was ever going to have you prefer it to be home, but if you had to go on the road somewhere, this defense is kind of a good matchup.
Kind of a matador defense for Paxton Lynch in his 2017 debut. I'm just saying, I think both the Denver offense and the Oakland defense show something this week with the change of coordinators for both. That's kind of all I'm going with that.
Yeah, I guess I'll disagree with you guys. I don't think you're going to see anything much better, too much better on the Oakland defense. You know, it's. I think the receivers can still get their numbers. It's more to me. It's more based on Paxton Lynch than the opponent.
So you are. Wow. So you are not. All right. So you're not worried. All right. That's cool.
I'm not saying I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the defense they're facing.
Right. And I don't think you should be worried about the defense they're facing. I think there's other reasons to worry. Understandably.
Right. I'm worried about how Lynch plays.
Sure.
Yeah.
Completely fair. What about the running game, right? Like, we talked a lot about Devontae Booker. And now my question is, guys, that with the change in offensive coordinator here, the question I have is nothing you can answer, right? It's like with the running back. Like, you have no idea who's going to be the primary ball carrier. It's a brand new offensive coordinator, brand new personnel group. Like, maybe this guy hates Devontae Booker. Maybe he wants to go back to CJ Anderson. Like, I don't know. Can you start either one of these guys this week?
It's like a crapshoot kind of thing. You're banking on something that you're just making an educated guess, and I don't know how much education is going into that. I'm going to look at what happened last week. I mean, I did feel bad for CJ Anderson. I mean, if you're a human with a heart, you had to feel bad for the guy. But I'm going to look at the guy that got 14 rushing attempts, was targeted 6 times. I think they put Lynch in there. Maybe they're looking to see, they're like, hey, this is the time we got to see what we have in certain players, and they're making that next step.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards no.
Okay.
Because we don't have bye weeks anymore. So I don't know if I could find, you know, 30 guys that I'm probably going to rank at least 30 guys ahead of Anderson, and definitely like at least 35 to 39 probably ahead of Devontae Booker when I do my lineup ranks today.
You know, I'm not saying start either one, but if I had to choose between the two, I'd go with Devontae Booker.
I don't even know how, I mean, but like, why?
Well, I'm just saying, it seems to, look, the guy, one guy made a fumble, one guy's right. been disappointing pretty much. I know he got like double-digit points, you know, and stuff, but Booker seems to be the guy that, if they're making this transition, maybe I'm wrong, but if they're making this transition, maybe they need to know what they got in Devontae Booker too, right? We need to see.
Absolutely.
Is this guy a good running back? He got a shot last year. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. He needs to get a true look. CJ Anderson is obviously not the answer.
I think at this point in the season, you're in the playoffs. The buys are done. It's dangerous to start a guy like Devontae Booker. I think you want to see him do it first. Otherwise, you get into a Rod Smith, Corey Davis kind of situation where you can say, okay, you know, this guy is on the verge, but, you know, until we see it otherwise, CJ Anderson's a starter. Maybe it's trending in that direction,
right.
But I want to see it happen
before I start him. CJ Anderson. I wouldn't start either one of these
guys. I don't
want
to start either one of them.
But if I had to choose, if we got to choose between the two, I would go with Booker.
Who would you go with? You said, but it sounded like you said you were going with Anderson because you said you could rank 30 above Anderson and 35, 39 over Booker. So it said you were, seemed like you were leaning Anderson there.
Yeah, I think I'm slightly leaning Anderson. I think he's a starter until we see it otherwise. And Matt could be right. We could see it this week.
Right. I mean, that's...
But I want to see it first.
Totally fair point.
Otherwise, I don't want to get into this Rod Smith kind of thing again.
I agree with you. And I don't think, unfortunately...
Best to avoid both.
It's best to avoid... It's simply best to avoid both. I don't think there's any question about that. It's very frustrating. It's a tough situation. And it's something I don't want to deal with. But on the other side of that, as Scott pointed out, the Raiders' defense is terrible. And it's not bad to have a running back against the Raiders' defense.
Yes.
So, you know, you're playing kind of both sides of that coin, and it's just not easy.
It could be a timeshare, but it's tough to figure out which guy you would want. In a week like this, I don't think you're really going to start either one.
What has to piss people off, like the Demaryius Thomas owners, is the fact that, you know, 29 targets, 3 touchdowns over the last 3 games, and he gets this Raiders secondary matchup. And now he's got a new quarterback.
Just like that.
Wow. Dudes is like it's a lot of wide receivers, though, that's used to playing with. Look at Andre Johnson. He never played with a good quarterback. You feel what I'm saying? Like, Matt Schaub went to the Pro Bowl a year or two, but he was still, like, a journeyman, serviceable type at best. And then it got real bad. The wheels fell off, and they went to his house and was going to burn it down, which was the raw. Oh, that's my. I'm about to say, who coming in here? Like, scared me for a little bit. The door just opened, Scott.
That's the AC man.
He's coming here to make the temperature better than that works.
Wasn't the restaurant manager.
No. She would probably be coming to put me out of here.
You were saying?
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, another good example. Everybody.
Yeah, look at Dre Hopkins.
Except for Osweiler.
Except for Watson, you know. So, I don't know. These receivers, I think they get used to it and they deal with it the best way they can. Thing about it is they got to go in your lineup.
We take a break. We come back. We'll talk more about some of the headlines from yesterday, including Andre Ellington's landing spot. And if Byron Marshall is worth a pickup this week. We'll talk about it when we come back next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're with you here now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Day before Thanksgiving. Remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. It's free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. We were speculating yesterday about Andre Ellington and where he could end up. And we found out that he is indeed Bruce Ellington's cousin. And now they're going to go play together in Houston.
How about that? Two cousins from Berkeley County in South Carolina. And now they both play for the Houston Texans, along with DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson. It's another it's another member of the, because those dudes are from Clemson, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's another, somebody else from Clemson played for the Texans, too. Davian Clowney, not a Clemson, but USC, University of South Carolina, not Southern California. It's another member of the Clemson Tigers on Clemson, too. I mean, on Houston, too. So maybe they got some kind of pipeline.
They cornered the market in Ellington.
Yeah, they have. Who knew?
I was hoping he went to Washington.
Me too.
As a Samaje Perine owner, you probably weren't. You didn't want to take from him, but I guess maybe Washington's kind of throwing up the flag.
We're talking about Samaje Perine in just a little bit, actually. 710 live on YouTube. We'll talk about his value going forward, so I'm excited to get more into that. But Andre Ellington heads to Houston. So, Scott, is there any value here?
I don't think so. I think, you know, they lost Foreman, and it's really just a depth signing. You know, coming in week 12, got to learn a new system, et cetera. I think he was just signed for really insurance. This is Lamar Miller's backfield. You saw them go to Alfred Blue a few weeks ago. I don't think he's worth an ad.
I mean, look, if you want to throw him on your bench, I think this is a guy that's going to get a, you know, double digit touches. I mean, Lamar Miller, if you've been watching, he's been the guy. It's been Lamar Miller's backfield. But the other running back does get like 10 to 12 touches every game. And if you're in a PPR and say, is that not this week, but, you know, rest of the week, say you get a devastating injury, you got to put somebody in. If he can catch seven balls or something.
Yeah, you know, you got to think. And I think he's worth an ad, too.
Okay, so you guys both, so the two of you think Andre Ellington worth an ad?
He's worth an ad.
Yeah, I'm not saying you got to.
No, don't empty the clip, you know what I'm saying? If you don't get him, it's not like, oh.
What do you have left in
it? Well, it's really not the end.
One way I'm looking at it, though, at this time of year, Andre Ellington's not going to get off your bench. You know, you want to have good depth at this point of the year when the buys are over and the playoffs are coming up. In what situation would you use Andre Ellington? He's not even really the handcuff to Lamar Miller.
But okay, I do agree with that. But say on your bench, as we talk about, we were talking on old school fantasy about stuff. If you have like a seventh wide receiver that you're never going to use, and say your running back situation isn't good, not that you ever want to use Andre Ellington. But if somebody gets hurt week 13, week 14, and say in a game or two he is getting pass catches, it's just an option to have.
It's better. You're more worthy having a guy like Andre Ellington on your bench than a guy like a Tyler Lockett or a guy like a Bryce Butler or a Cole Beasley. Because, you know what I'm saying? Well, then again, Beasley asked
somebody. I think it's all the same.
Okay, what if Lamar Miller goes down?
Then he'll probably go to Alfred Blue, I think.
You're right about that.
No, no, no.
I agree with you.
But Alfred Blue, I don't think he's going to get all these touches. I think Alfred Blue will get touches and get a nice share. But I think Andre Ellington would definitely be a factor.
I think a lot of things have to happen. It's a deep sleeper. You know, right now, I just think you don't want these kind of guys on your bench. To me, at this point, you know, you're having like Damian Williams and Lance Dunbar and Jakandrick West on your bench.
Okay, but 2 weeks ago, nobody wanted Bruce Ellington.
But yeah, you need Jakandrick West.
And now Bruce Ellington, the last 2 weeks, has gotten over like 16 targets.
Yeah, but we're done with the buys, though. Do you really want to be starting Bruce Ellington right now?
So
you'll have him as a backup, but I'd rather have him than Andre.
So don't pick up anybody. Don't pick up anybody unless it's your backup and stuff like that.
Well, listen.
You got to have guys on your bench.
Yes, you do, but I think there's merit to what you're saying, Scotty. Like, at what point am I going to want to... I don't think I ever want to play Andre Ellington.
No, you don't want to play him. But, you know, if he's going to be... If you're a Lamar Miller owner, you're not going to pick up Andre Ellington?
I agree with Scott.
I'd probably pick up Alfred Blue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If it happens, Matt will be the one to say it, and we disagree with him, but
correct.
I just don't.
Like I said, I'm not telling you to go out and get him.
Right.
But if I need to pick somebody up, he's maybe somebody that you might want to have because he can catch the ball.
Well, would you rather have Andre Ellington or Byron Marshall? Because I think that's where the conversation needs to lead, right? Andre Ellington can catch the ball.
I'll take Ellington because I know what Ellington can do on the NFL level, and I know that the other running back in Houston gets about a dozen touches a game. So maybe after this week.
Well, the other running back at Houston gets a dozen touches a game, sure. But that was when it was your draft pick, someone you're trying to develop to be probably your all-around back at some point. Andre Ellington's never going to be that for Houston. When it comes to Byron Marshall in Washington, we know for a fact that role, when it was Chris Thompson's role, dominated. It was Kirk Cousins' favorite target.
You're right, but I mean, is he going to be Chris Thompson?
I don't know. All I know is Andre Ellington.
That's a good point. Are they going to totally go both away from throwing to running back? To me, I don't roster Marshall unless I have Perine. To me, I have to decide the kind of running back that I'm probably going to have on my bench right now is like J.D. McKissic. And do I want Ellington over McKissic? I just don't think I have room for an Ellington right now.
Well, you didn't answer my question, though. Would you rather Ellington or Marshall?
I'd probably rather have Marshall because I think there's a clearer path. This guy's coming to a new team in week 12.
I agree.
Yeah. Marshall's doing the same thing. Right?
Well, he's been on the team for a couple weeks now.
He's been on the practice squad.
He's been on the practice squad. Okay.
Well, no, he's been on the roster. He's been on the roster because he was signed off the Eagles practice squad. So you have to be on the roster if that happens. He's actually been on the roster practicing with the Washington for a couple of weeks. I think there's a clearer path for him.
One last thing. I'm not advocating people go out, you've got to get Andre Ellington. But I see what Andre Ellington could do in a couple of games this year. If given the opportunity. I don't ever want to start him. But I think if, you got to
be in a jam, you shouldn't be in too much of a jam at this time of year when we get past the bye weeks. But I think Lamar Miller owners, I think you always go for the pass catching back. And that's the advantage that he has over Alfred Blue.
Can we do an exercise here? I mean, over the course of the show, can you guys take a look at any of your rosters and tell me a situation in which you would pick up on Andre Ellington?
It's different. I play in a lot of leagues with 20 roster spots, so I have the real estate.
Look at a 12 teamer.
I have the real estate. I don't. Do I have any? Okay, you know what? I do have a league that I have 16 roster spots.
Put it
spots.
To the test,
Oh, and this is the team I need running back help. So maybe that's not the best team to look at. So I'm looking at this team. Let me go to my bench, and if I wanted to add Andre Ellington. I would cut Jalen Rashard for Andre Ellington.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's like a lateral move.
Correct.
It's a lateral move. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's a wash.
Like, I have a league looking at it now. All right, would you cut Buck Allen for him?
No, I wouldn't cut Buck Allen for it.
Danny has always hurt. I could cut Elijah McGuire for him, but that's a lateral move.
It's a lot of lateral moves, but if I have a running back on my bench that really hasn't done nothing, I might take the upside of a PPR back. Is all I'm saying. I mean, we've seen him have some games this season where he's caught a ton of balls. Does it translate into it with the Texans? I don't know. And I'm not saying you have to have him, but, maybe it's... If you own Lamar Miller, I would pick him up. I mean, there's guys you can get rid of.
All right, so there you go. More on the Byron Marshall conversation, though. We don't know the answer to this. Just like we didn't know the answer with the Denver running backs either. When it was a Byron Marshall, there is a major, major role in this offense for a pass-catching back. We've seen it all year. Yes. Chris Thompson is an RB1. He is gone. Byron Marshall's been on the team for at least a couple of weeks now. Can he be a version of Chris Thompson?
I don't think so. I think this is a good look for J-Mo, Doxson, and Vernon Davis. I think they get an uptick in their looks, particularly, I would say, J-Mo and Vernon Davis.
Is there a chance, guys, though, that Samaje Perine is just on the field for 90% of the snaps now or something ridiculous
Well, you got to protect him because he has a fumbling thing. He's not the best in pass protection. So you probably don't want to leave him on the field that long. But I would say he's up to 75% of the snaps.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. With Marshall, it's another thing of the unknown. Now, you're going to say Chris Thompson, of course, he's nowhere near that incredibly talented, I would think. But this is a guy I think he's probably only a handcuff. I agree with Corey that it means spreading the ball because Kirk Cousins, as we've seen, has the ability to adjust. He lost Garcon, he lost to Sean Jackson. He started throwing to other people. Now he loses Thompson. Maybe he's going more to Josh Doxson. Jamison Crowder keeps it up. The great thing about Kirk Cousins as a quarterback, which I really respect about him, is if the situation changes around him, he adjusts.
For me, I think the two players that are going to benefit from this because Thompson was really off the charge this year. Okay. I don't think you're going to find somebody just to fill that role. Jamison Crowder, Crowder's gotten 32 targets in the last three games. He can play in the slot running around. Even Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is going to help him out a lot too. So that short passing game that was going to the running back is maybe going to the tight end or to a Jamison Crowder.
Let me... this Thompson kid... Okay, where did he come from? Like, I know he played for Florida State. Which Florida State team? Did he go? Did he win? Was he on their championship team?
I think he was with Jameis.
But I don't remember him like in the draft and stuff like that. Yeah, I know, but I don't remember him going through the draft process and stuff like that. Chris Thompson. He can play.
I'm just pissed because it was like a lot of times this draft season, it was Thompson or Shane Vereen.
Yeah, and you went with Shane Vereen.
And I kind of mixed them up time to time, but I wound up with more Vereen than Thompson. And that was not good.
So he, in 2012, I don't know, is that the year they won the title?
They didn't win the title. And then they won the chip in 2012.
He tore his ACL.
Okay.
In October. That's why I didn't hear of him. He tore his ACL in October, which was his senior year.
So he's been through major injuries before.
Yeah. He's okay. Tore his ACL. We knew Chris Thompson had injury problems coming into the NFL. He had some good games, obviously, in college, obviously, clearly. And ultimately, he suffered some major, major issues in 2011, which I guess was his junior year. He suffered back fractures in his T5 and T6 compression.
This guy's beat up.
Real beat up. So he played only 5 games as a junior, came back and played 8 games his senior year.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And then he was he drafted or was he an undrafted free agent?
He was a 5th-round draft pick.
By who?
By Washington.
By Washington. And then you kind of just... By that back injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's
torn ACL.
Now for a broken couple fib. Games every year.
Chris Thompson is 27 years old. He's not 22.
So he did play with Jameis. So, wow. So the back injury, the torn ACL, and now a broken leg. That's crazy.
It's starting to sound like Deion Lewis.
I know, right? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
It's unfortunate.
He's a guy that's beat up.
Yeah, he's beat up.
He's a beat up guy. And unfortunately, listen, realistically, this is why they didn't want to play him a majority of the time.
Yeah,
right?
Now you see that. Yeah, because he gets hurt.
He broke his leg.
It was unfortunate the way that he
absolutely. Got rolled up on.
But Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I thought Cousins.
Another brittle Maryland pass catching running back.
Well, I mean, the guy rolled on his leg.
He went to Florida State.
not the Terrapins. I'm saying, you know. Washington,
yeah.
The Ravens.
That's Danny Woodhead. The Beltway got to beat up pass catching running backs.
That's what I meant. I want you to get a shot at the Terrapins.
Yeah.
I root for them for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
I hope they win.
No, they don't. Ever. All right.
Hope it changes.
It won't. We'll take a break. We'll come back. All other things, including we have an update on Mike Davis. Huh. Amazing. We'll talk about it next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on the Roto Experts. And Corey, do you remember when I told you yesterday, the running back that left the game with a badly groin injury, and he was hurting with a towel on his head, almost in tears, that he probably wasn't going to play Sunday. And some other people at the table were like, you know what? We don't know. Maybe he will. Groin injuries, you may be able to play through. And I was like, dude, look at this guy. He's hurt badly.
Who would that play again?
Mike Davis?
Yeah.
You remember that conversation?
I remember this yesterday.
Yeah.
I remember it too, yeah. And look.
Pete Carroll said he's probably not going to play this week. Yeah, why? Because he hurt his groin and he was crying on the sidelines. Obviously, he's not playing.
Look, it's not about... I said, you could be right about this. Yeah, it wasn't that play or not play. It's just, I don't want to overreact. I want to hear the official word. I don't want to react to something that I see on television necessarily. You know, especially knowing the nature of groin injuries. Sure, you turn out to be right. You know,
and with Andrew Luck,
what I'm saying is, but you know, also you saw Odell Beckham's injury on TV, and you thought he was going to play in the season opener. So, you know, I don't know. I wanted to say, Look, you could be right, but I wanted to wait to find out for sure.
But you told people to pick up Mike Davis over J.D. McKissick yesterday.
Well, maybe he misses a game with the groin.
But
look, I was wrong about that. Look, I was wrong about that. But I want to see the official word on these things. Yesterday, you told me that Tyler Croft is not going to play this week.
I did not say that. I said you worry about him with a hand injury.
Right, and then I went to Inside Injuries.
Looking at the player card,
Roto Expert.
Yes.
And they say mild tendonitis.
Sure.
I'm not quite as worried. All I'm saying is I don't want to judge anything by what I saw on television. You're right, but I don't want to judge anything by what I see on television. He could look like he's in great pain 1 minute, and then a few days later they say he's ready to play. I just don't know.
It's a Seattle running back. I'm not
Yeah, he looked good. Listen, give the guy credit. He looked good on Monday night. He found room. I feel bad for him. Racking up the practice squad and immediately hurts his groin. It sucks. I do feel very bad for him. But listen, Thomas Rawls is back. J.D. McKissick is back. We're ready to go.
We're not doing Thomas Rawls. It's like
no.
J.D. McKissick. I think it's going to be a very popular play on sites like RoloExperts.com, such as DKMS going against the 49ers. And then we talk about the whole Sunday thing. Russell Wilson is 85% of the Seahawks offense. If you get down and say, oh, man, Adam Thielen scored all this against me on Thursday, Russell Wilson will probably be able to bring you back by himself on Sunday.
Well, but you're also your quarterback. I don't know. I hate that. I hate Thursday night players so much.
Me too.
I feel so terrible.
I make so many wrong decisions.
Listen, Corey and I were just talking about this during the break. Yeah. He's like, oh, do I start Danny Amendola or Jeremy Maclin? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to start Amendola. Give me the Patriots wide receiver over anybody at Baltimore. He's like, well, Baltimore plays Houston. I'm like, I understand that. It's Baltimore. He goes, but they play Monday night. I'm like, oh, now I'm interested.
And went ace in the hole.
Yeah, no, I get the ace in the hole, but I think I got to go. Without Hogan, you got to go in, though. You saw what happened this past.
But it's Jeremy Maclin versus Houston.
Yeah, but.
No, I get that, but he's playing Miami. And
yeah, but you're talking about, like, a team with a much better passing game. Flacco doesn't throw the ball. You're hoping.
I agree.
You're hoping with Jeremy Maclin that once in a game, maybe he'll break a big play and get in the end zone.
He's been much better. I know he didn't have
You know, Danny Amendola don't really get – was not on the field that much.
But
Maclin drastically outsnaps Danny Amendola.
He outsnaps
and what does he
him,
do with those
he
snaps,
receives
though?
Him. I mean, the catches are there, and, you know, the opportunity for the touchdown now without a Hogan.
Yeah, because a lot of Jeremy Macklin's snaps are like, okay, we're on the route, come back to the huddle.
Maclin has scored touchdowns in back-to-back games.
You have to like Maclin. I'm not saying that. You have to like him. He's been good.
Yeah.
Not a bad game.
We need a break. When we come back, more, including a listener question for everybody. So, Roto Experts, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.